Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Coffee with Susie. I am super excited to have one of my friends with me today. And I actually met her through her old position. And I want her to talk a little bit more to you today because what she's done in the pharmacy field and what she's done for women in pharmacy has been tremendous. And I'm super excited to have Dr. Janann with us today. Do you want to introduce yourself to everybody?
Yes, thank you so much, Susie, for having me. I am Janann Sarwar. I'm honored to be here chatting with you. And yes, so we met when I was at the American Pharmacist Association as the publishing division, and we worked on your book that has just come out, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's coming out and it's in the process. I've been getting messages more and more. So a lot of the pharmacist moms were able to contribute to it. And it's been great actually working with APHA on that. So
yeah, I'm so happy to see it's important to have content that's relatable, that is what moms need. And I know there's pharmacist moms, the group that I've been a part of even before. So I've knew you before you knew me, but I'm a huge fan of what you've created. And what you're doing. So,
you're so sweet. Tell everyone a little bit more about your current role and what you do now, or kind of your journey, I guess, as you know, since you graduated pharmacy school and kind of your journey as to what got you into your current role.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a very unique, non-traditional career path. I went to pharmacy school at UNC Eshelman School of Pharmacy. And throughout that time, I knew that I loved pharmacy, but I also loved a lot of the more interesting technological pieces of being in pharmacy school, actually. So we had a few remote campuses at UNC. So one of the things that I did was I was the tech person in the classroom. So if anytime someone's microphone or if we had a professor and they weren't able to share their screen or something like that, I'd go up and help them.
Wow. I know who that student was when I was in pharmacy school. It was not me. It definitely was not me, but...
Yeah, so it's just interesting that now I'm thinking back at all the random things that I did that have really played a part of my career now. The other thing that I did was I knew it was important to be involved. I love being in organizations, and that's just been, I think, the nature of a lot of people, right? We're always maybe in high school volunteering and, you know, being part of different groups. And while I really enjoyed being a part of the different student organizations, we had a student chapter called CAPS, which included the ASHP aspect as well as APHA and doing a lot of different patient care programs. But I did also, I will admit to you all here, that I was a little afraid of actually the direct patient interaction part. Not afraid, not as much loving it. So what I realized I could do, a creative way to stay involved, is I was actually kind of like the historian and webmaster for several of the organizations in pharmacy school. And by doing that, I mentioned this because I got a lot of mentors that were the advisors of the groups, because when you think about it, maybe if it comes to time to, you know, apply for the different awards for APHA or other organizations, you need to write reports. And you need to have images to share, and you need to create videos and things. Well, I was that tech nerd behind the scenes, putting a lot of those things together and actually doing photography. I actually had a brief stint in entrepreneurship during pharmacy school as well, where I had a business called Janann Photography. And I was photographing a lot of student pharmacists they needed headshots for things, or they were getting engaged or other things like that. So it was really a fun thing that I did. There are a lot of mentors and groups that were in photography during pharmacy school as well, and at the university level. So I did that. And then how that ties to the rest of my career is that my mentors kind of pointed me towards a really unique direction when it was coming time for everyone deciding what are they going to do after they graduate. Part of me really was thinking I'd love to get into academia, but I wasn't exactly sure what field. If you pursue academia, most likely you're going to do some sort of residency. And I will also admit that I didn't want to for my fourth year rotations, I was really opting for the unique ones, the ones that are, I did one academically. I did one where I went to pharmacist letter in Stockton, California, and just some really interesting opportunities.
So did you do a residency or a fellowship, or did you not?
I did. So okay. So this is during my fourth year, my mentors told me about a fellowship that they, in a way, created for me. It was called Educational Technology Research and Development. So that was a fellowship at that point, non-accredited, and there have been fellows since. So I was the first one. And that's a nice way of saying that I basically was the person that was a liaison between subject matter experts, who are the professors, and a group of graphic designers and programmers and instructional designers. I was the middle man between getting that really academic information and converting it into ways that are using technology and using educational pedagogy. How to convert?
Okay, so let's stop there. So basically, you're a student. You're looking for something non-traditional. Yeah. You didn't want to go the residency route. You didn't want to go that clinical route. So you pretty much found a mentor, found someone to help develop this fellowship, this educational technology resource fellowship for you, which is now still there. It's still standing, right?
They've had other fellows since. I'm not exactly sure at this date who and what the role is like, but there were several fellows after that had gone on to academia as well.
That's great.
And really interesting position. And I'll share that what I did, I'm not trying to spend so much time telling you my backstory, but it's really leads to what I do today. And that what I did during that fellowship experience is go in between and work with these subject matter experts and translate, whether it was creating websites or creating videos or creating different mini modules, if you will, about the content. And so as I was finishing my fellowship and doing all of this and doing research as well of how it's impacting the students and how they like the things that we created, the fun thing was that after that, as I was determining, what do I do next? I really wanted to still think maybe I could do academia, go somewhere. But in order to do all these things that I shared, you do need resources. You need, you know, graphic designers and programs and all of that. Not every institution that's academic would have that kind of opening. That's for a very unique person like me. But I happened to be at the right place in the right time. And there was one of my mentors who was on the editorial advisory board at APHA, where they were looking for someone that had a PharmD in educational technology experience. The story is just, I got that job and I worked there for over 7 years and meeting people like you. And what I did on a small scale at UNC, I ended up doing on a larger scale at APHA. Working and creating innovative online resources, as well as working with the publishing division and doing printed books. And so that is what I did for publishing digitally and print. And that's the majority of my tenure that I have spent. And now I have my own publishing company. I ended up moving on from APHA, loved all of my experiences, but I wanted to take a different direction, have a little bit more time with my children. I do have 3 small children, and do something new and take the skills that I have and use it in a different way. I have been doing medical writing and grant writing using some of those original skills that I learned during pharmacy school. And I get to use the technology skills as well in developing presentations for continuing medical education. So I do a little bit of that now, as well as full-time in publishing at a new company I established called Global Bookshelves International. So that's my story.
No, congratulations. I have so many questions now, because why I brought you on today is I think this is great. You have this non-traditional career, very inspiring to so many pharmacists listening. And if anyone has questions about non-traditional work or how to get into it, I think that, you know, you're a great source and a great inspiration to many about non-traditional. So there are so many pharmacists who are out there who, even in school, they might've recognized, you know what, I don't want to go the traditional route. That's just not for me, but I love being a pharmacist. I still, you know, want to use my education in a different way. So tell us a little bit more. I have other questions. I want to keep going, but more about like the medical writing and grant writing, and how did you get into writing? Did you actually take any classes to write? Because as a pharmacist, I can even speak for myself. I mean, I took so many science and math courses and in pharmacy school, and I went to University of Illinois, and they had some requirements that were non-science and, you know, all of the general ed classes, but I definitely am not the best writer. You know, I think that as a firm, I just was always more a math and science person. So what did you do? And although I've wrote many, you know, papers and manuscripts over 100, I still feel like, oh, I don't know if I can write, you know. Did you do anything to prepare for a career in writing, you know, as the medical writer, as a grant writer? Was it just something that came natural to you? Any tips on that?
Yeah, this is an excellent question. You're right that a lot of us are very science-brained and maybe even thinking of writing as a little bit more of the art side. And I like to think of it as kind of, is this a way to blend the arts and sciences? But I will tell you that writing itself, there is a science to it. And so that's good. It is learnable. But I think with everything, practice is important. The other important thing to note is that medical writing is such a broad term. There are so many ways you can write. And, you know, from what I've seen from when I started at APHA, and that was, I'll date myself, but in 2014 is when I started my career there. I didn't have much formal experience writing other than what I did in pharmacy school and those grant, in a way, it's not writing a grant, but maybe writing applications, for getting those awards, maybe that I was mentioning earlier. That is a form of writing. And then of course, writing for getting into different jobs or getting into pharmacy school or different programs. I say all that to say that during my experience reading other people's writing, and the writing that I'm talking about is about pharmacotherapy. And that's my way to say that I am a pharmacist, although very non-traditional. I had to review a lot of content. You know, we were earlier talking about your book. So that's not necessarily technical for, you know, the one about pharmacist moms, but that's writing as well. And so in a way, I became more of an editor. And as a publisher and as my roles changed at APHA, I did a lot more of a review. And the writing that I think that I did a lot of and that you do a lot of that you don't think about are the writings maybe when you're emailing others or when you're creating content. I know you, didn't you also have an MSL role in your past too?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I did.
I remember seeing an episode of your amazing show when you mentioned that. So, you know, even with that, there's writing that's involved, of course, right? When you're trying to convey information. And so with medical writing, the interesting thing I found and what I personally did was read a lot. And I think to be a good writer, you do need to know what kind of writing that you have to do. So when I say grant writing, I am writing grants that are specifically requested from pharmaceutical companies that are saying, we have an RFP, a request for proposals, or a call for grant applications about this product or this need, and we need a needs assessment. And that's the kind of writing that I have to do. And so you have to put yourself in that headspace of, okay, what am I writing for? And I think all writing in some way or another is a kind of form of storytelling. Can you tell the story? So if you're not sure if you're a good writer or not, at the end of the day, if you're writing, whether it's a grant saying that I need to get this amount for something, or back to when I was saying I was writing for an award, or if you're writing and you're doing a medical piece that is for healthcare providers, other fellow healthcare providers, think, have I told the story? Who am I saying it to? What is it that I need to say? Will they understand? Can I explain it to someone else if they read it back? And will they be able to understand? So sometimes if you don't have someone else, taking a step away, walking away from what you wrote after doing a lot of research, right? Because you always have to study and learn. And when you're in the moment, oh, you feel like you know it all. The true test is walk away, take some time away, come back and, you know, try to forget what you know about it. And if someone's a novice, if they read what you wrote, if it makes sense and kind of hits the marks of what your objectives and your goals were, that brainstorming and planning before writing, that's really important. I think that's what you do. So for me, the answer is it's been a combination of practice, reading, and storytelling.
I love it. I love it. I mean, I can relate so much to that as well, because even with my first, you know, going back, now I'm going back even more years than you, so I'm not going to date myself either, but wait, 10 years before you're talking about. So writing some of my first grants and just sitting there and thinking, you know, okay, I'm going to write. And I'm the type of writer, actually. I just pile everything onto the paper. And I know I have friends who will, they're very minimal, but I'll write 10 pages and then it ends up being just two. But for me, that's just a lot better to work with a lot more. And then I can always delete and remove. But I do remember, you know, in the beginning, just kind of sitting there and saying, you know, just not having that confidence, really, that I was like, I don't have an English degree. I don't even have any bachelor's degree. I just went, you know, to pharmacy school. So then I started to just kind of doubt myself with the writing. So I love hearing other pharmacists' stories on how to do that, because it is a great career option for so many pharmacists, and it is out there, and we have the knowledge and capabilities, to your point, to do that. I wanted to ask you if there's any other advice that maybe you would tell your younger self or other pharmacists who are getting started in their careers.
You know, what you said about having doubts and having fears about anything. If I could go back and tell myself that, you know, our careers are a journey, and, you know, there's not a particular destination that you have to go to. It's, you know, enjoy the journey that you have. And anytime you have those doubts and those fears, go back and see, you know, someone believed in me to put me here. And even if I don't know what to do, you have the tools, whether it's figuring it out yourself. Sometimes that's where the doubt comes from, that, oh, I can't trust myself. If you really feel that way, and I'm to tell myself, go ask someone who does know. They're people that will help you. We chose this profession, and I actually do some career coaching as well. I'm a career coach with the Happy Farm D, and I serve as the chief content officer for the Happy Farm D as well right now. And one of the things that I keep noting is when I talk to clients or talk to others, they say, oh, I don't want to ask for help. I don't want to bother someone. And then I remind them, who is it and what field are we in? All of us, most of us that are listening, we're pharmacists. And most of us got into the profession because we have this nature for wanting to help others.
Right.
And given the opportunity, if someone asks you for help at that, you know, now that people are asking me for help, anytime they do, of course, I'm warmed and honored that they're asking me a question and you're asking me questions and sharing whatever I can. And then also thinking the same way that those who are in these spaces that know more, it's usually an honor for them to help back and help others. And so not being afraid to ask for help when you need it, and trusting yourself that you know more than you think. You went through pharmacy school and you're capable and you can figure out the answers if you don't know how. That's what pharmacists do. So, yeah.
No, I love it. I think that's so true. And I think that that's really a key takeaway message from this episode is really, you know, at any point really within your career, if you're interested in something, to take that risk and to either ask somebody for help or, you know, find that mentor and to make a change if you're not happy with what you're doing, that there are so many other opportunities out there.
Absolutely.
No, that's great. So we're rounding up or ending kind of the show, but towards the end of every episode, I do ask everyone to share a photo with our audience, and it could be any photo. And what photo are you sharing today?
I'm sharing this photo. This is the most recent family photo I have. It is a photo of all of us at Disney World. You may recognize the teacup or a teapot in the background. So here we are at Disney. I have three daughters, as I mentioned. They're 2, 4, and 6 years old. And my pharmacist husband, Humble Savik, is in the photo too.
Great. So you guys are a busy pharmacy family. Very, very young kids, but I love it. I love the photo. Yes. Anything else? Where can people find you if they want to find you? Where would they be able to find you?
LinkedIn is the best place. I'm Janan Sarwar. You can find me there. And if you're interested in publishing, writing yourself, whether it's medical writing or actually not just medical writing, if you're interested in creative writing or writing for children, that's a huge passion of mine. So feel free to reach out. I'll be happy to chat and share what I know.
Yes, you are the go-to for all of that. So anyone who is interested in writing, I really encourage you. You're a great resource. I encourage all the listeners to reach out to you for. Well, thank you. Thanks again, Janan, for being on the show. And we would love to have you back in the future.
Thank you so much, Susie. It was a pleasure.